May God indeed help us when temptation comes, luring us off the path of God and off the path of life. We want to be in His strength. And we're continuing on. We're getting near the end, aren't we, of our study here of the Lord's Prayer, that prayer that Jesus taught to His disciples, not only words to pray, but also specific concept to expand beyond these exact words into longer and deeper prayers when we need them. So lead us not into temptation. One thing I think I figured out last night from just the hoops and hollers in our neighborhood and around us, I think Houston is a very prayerful city. Perhaps this time of year, most of all. I think a lot of people were praying when it got to be one out in the bottom of the ninth, and it got to be two outs. And then when Jose Altuve stood up there, the prayers were rising up in our city. Don't you think? Yeah, I think they were. Now, we're really talking about a very specific kind of prayer, though. We're talking here, this petition that Jesus taught, lead us not into temptation. And it's an interesting word, this idea of temptation. Maybe you noticed in the gospel reading and the other readings that we had, use of temptation and testing are actually the same root word. I want to get into that along with you as we dig in and explore this. But first, it was interesting to me to notice that just recently, in 2017, in fact, the Pope said we need to change the Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, a lot of us have it from memory. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. On and on we go. His suggestion was that the English translation should be changed to do not let us fall into temptation. And this is, again, for the English translation. I don't know how it is for others. Here's what the Pope had to say about it. I am the one who falls. It's not God pushing me into temptation to see if I have fallen. A father doesn't do that. Remember, this prayer starts out, our Father. A father doesn't do that. A father helps us to get up. It's Satan who leads us into temptation, the Pope said. Pope Francis concludes that's his department. And the truth is, Pope Francis actually has a point. To not be too much, but you know, you have an English major as a pastor. I'm sorry, it's just kind of the way it is. But when you look at the original language, the verb tense that's there is what's known as a permissive imperative. Now, that one you're probably going to be talking about over lunch today, I'm sure. That's going to be like the high point of today's message. But what a permissive imperative means is this idea: don't permit it to happen, God. You're actually saying to someone that you're trusting as a higher power, don't let this happen. Don't permit it to happen is the prayer that Jesus is teaching. If you want, one way you could say this is, do not allow us to be led into temptation. Or I think Pope Francis's way is just fine. Do not let us fall into temptation. Either one of those can work just fine. And temptation is a really big deal. Martin Luther has something to say about this in his catechism. We'll use it in a little while here as our creed. And he points out that God tempts no one. Where did Martin Luther get that idea? Well, from Scripture, and specifically from our epistle reading today, from James 1, 13 and 14. God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. God's not tempted by evil because He's pure. He's pure love. He's pure holiness. He's pure light. And there is nothing of what the devil would try to hand out as little substitutes or little shiny trinkets that might tempt us. There's nothing attractive about that to God at all because He already has perfection. He already has perfect holiness, perfect love, perfect light within Himself. It's we who struggle with that. But as Luther says, God tempts no one. He gets that from James. God Himself tempts no one. He's not tempted by evil, but as the verse goes on to say, when a person is tempted, he or she is lured and enticed by our own desires. Somehow, some way, instead of the perfect holiness, instead of the perfect love, the perfect light that God would offer to us, we see the shiny little thing over by door number three. We're tempted by the mystery package over by curtain number one. And we want these things that the world tells us, this is good stuff. It's funny. We give up the greater, the best, the purest stuff when we're tempted by the stuff the world tells us is the good stuff. We're enticed by that desire. Somehow, some way, we believe that lie that this thing's good for us. Well, there's a lot mixed up in this, and I want to explore a subtle idea. James, as you heard Herschel read it for us earlier, talked about the idea of rejoicing in all kinds of tests and trials. We heard in the Old Testament reading that the idea God is testing. And ironically, it might surprise you, but the root word for test and trial and temptation is all the same. God brings about and allows testing. God brings about and allows trials. God does not tempt anyone, but it is an opportunity for us to change what might have been a temptation and instead see it as a test and as a trial. What do I mean by that? Well, the Old Testament reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that God is testing you to know what is in your heart. It's interesting. It doesn't say so that he can know what is in your heart. It just says to know what is in your heart. God leaves that open. You know why? Because he already knows what's in our heart. The testing that's taking place is that so you and I would know what's in our hearts. Oftentimes we're so lured by the sin, we're so drawn by the thing that tempts us, we don't even stop and ask, is this good for my heart? Is this something God would really want for me to have? When he's testing us, when he's allowing a trial to come into our lives, God is letting us know what in our hearts we most depend on. In the case that we saw of Jesus as he overcomes the temptation of Satan, and even in the case of the Israelites back there in the Deuteronomy reading, the testing was to see, who would you listen to? Who would you follow? Who will you trust to guide you in this path? And will you trust and live on every word that comes from the mouth of God? Or are you instead going to say, you know what, I think this word's good enough. I think this trinket looks shiny and wonderful. God brings this testing about to see what you and I really depend on. When the rubber meets the road, when the chips are down, when the pressure's there, what do we really depend on? Is it ourselves? Is it some other resource? I think a lot of times nowadays we depend on internet search engines, right? I mean, it's amazing the things people will search for. How to try to get a dog to stop peeing on the furniture is a search term with over 2 million hits on Google. Can you believe that? I won't even go into all the other ones that are on there. I mean, we just figure we'll Google it, right? That's going to be our answer. That's where we'll depend. And sure enough, there's going to be a YouTube video. There's going to be someone that can tell us some earthly wisdom about how to get through something. Or can what is in our hearts be, I want to hear God's answer. I want to hear what God has to say about how to get through that. And so he'll bring the testing in our lives to see where our faith muscle is. We may not always like testing, may not always feel that good. But aren't you glad they test airplanes before you and I ever walk into one to make sure that all the parts are strong and working and functioning? Aren't you glad they test bridges before you and I ever drive over them to make sure that the concrete and the steel are going to hold and bear up over time? They test and make sure that food hits the right quality and purity to it. And aren't we glad that they do so? And God, because he loves us, would bring a test or a trial into our life so we can see how our faith muscle is doing. And if we need a little exercise, if we need a little strengthening, if we need to grow a bit in our dependence on him, consider it all joy when you face these trials, when we have this chance to see the evidence of where our faith muscles really are. Where do we turn when it hurts? What's our view of God when something painful and challenging comes into our lives? God doesn't really love me anymore because he let this thing happen, or God is the one that will comfort me in the midst of this hard thing. It's a test. It's a trial. It's a chance for us. And whenever we trials or temptations, if there's trouble anywhere, God tells us we don't need to be discouraged. We can bring it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, help me. Let me not be led into temptation. Bring me through this trial and this difficulty. Help me overcome, even as Jesus himself has. Well, let's talk then a little bit specifically about temptation. I think one of the things to notice about temptation is we sometimes will joke, you know, I'll even do this with certain foods, like my picture of the donut there, right? Oh, lead me not into temptation. What is it? There's a little difference, I think, an important difference between a trial, a test, and temptation. A trial and a test is trying to reveal, is the strength really there? Is the dependence on God really there? A temptation's not working on that. A temptation's saying, come over here. It tries to pull us away from dependence on God. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and the Satan showed up to them, the tempter asked, did God really say that you should not eat from any of the fruit and any of the trees in the garden? Just by the way he framed the question, he was already trying to pull Eve and Adam away. When she said, oh no, that's not true, God said, and she quotes him exactly, you can eat from any tree except the one in the center. Satan says, oh, it's not true that you'll die if you eat from that tree. No, what's really true is your eyes will be open. You'll decide for yourself what's good and what's evil. Trying to pull away from God and pull away from dependence on God. That's how you and I can identify what a temptation is. When we're worried about our reputation, when we're wondering what people will think of us if we ever admit a weakness or a struggle or just... you know, having a hard time. And so we put on a mask and we hide our feelings of fear or insecurity or struggles. And we just do that. I'm fine. Everything's great. Praise God. What a wonderful day. How are you today? When we just put on one of those masks and we just sort of do the church talk, instead of being real with someone, we're giving in to a temptation that's somehow maintaining our image before other people and what they think about us is more important than admitting, I'm struggling right now. I'm going through a trial right now. I could really use some prayer and support right now. Temptation, whether it's to buy more than we need or it is to consume more than we need of something legal or illegal, it pulls us away from that dependence on God. So we're not listening to God's voice anymore. We're listening to our own desire, as James talked about, and we let that pull us. We let it take it into sin, and sin, when it's full grown, leads to death. Now, Adam and Eve didn't keel over the second they took a bite of that, although we call this lump in our throat the Adam's apple, as if some of it got stuck there and it's been there ever since, right? They didn't keel over and die. But what did die? What died was their relationship of trust with God. Now they're afraid of him. Now they're hiding. Now they're covering up. Now they're also blaming each other. There was quite a bit of death that took place there. No longer had an open, loving relationship with God, a blaming relationship and distrust and covering up from each other. When we lie, when we are enticed by temptation, there's likely to be death in our life too. It might be the death of innocence. It might be the death of a marriage or the breaking up of a family. It might even be physical death. But trust when God says, when he points out to us that there is death is involved, when sin reaches its full peak, when we're really drawn into it, when we give Satan one more place to put his hooks into us, he'll draw us further from God. And we'll experience things more and more that are really a kind of death in our lives. What do we do to get past this? I want to suggest to you that there is not a person on this planet who knows more about what it's like to be tempted than Jesus. Scripture tells us that he was tempted in every single way like us, and yet was without sin. But he faced all those temptations. Temptations to sins of the flesh and sins of the mind. Temptations to pull away and not listen to God any longer. He faced all of those temptations, and he overcame every single one of them. In the gospel today, we got to see three of them. When Satan tempts him, hey, you're starving. Go ahead. There's nothing wrong. Why don't you get yourself some food? You have power. Use that power to meet your own needs. And of course, the thing he doesn't say is, that means you won't be depending on God the Father anymore. You're just going to do it yourself. Abraham gave in to that temptation once. God promised him a son, and the son wasn't coming, so he decided, I can make a son another way, through another woman instead of my wife. Countless other people have tried, well, God said this, but I kind of want plan B. I want this shortcut. And we'll go ahead and satisfy their own desires instead of trusting the God who promised to meet our needs, to give us the desires of our heart. Jesus will have none of it. No. As God had said to the Israelites in our Old Testament reading, Jesus quotes the word of God. And he quotes that passage, God, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Is that how we really live? Is that how we really get through our temptation? Jesus knows the path. And when we not only imitate him, but we also depend on his success, you and I find the grace and the strength to start afresh, to start renewed, and to have our faith muscles get stronger than ever. I hope you noticed in the gospel reading that as Jesus was facing all of those temptations, one little, very important thing happens. The third temptation, Satan quotes the Bible too. You ever thought about that? That the devil knows the Bible probably as well, if not better, than you and I do. That he could try to tempt Jesus by saying, well, God said, if you'll take this kind of crazy risk and jump off the top here, he'll send his angels to watch over you. It's right there. It's in the book of Numbers. It's right there in the book of Psalms. He'll take care of you. And Jesus says, I'm not going to put God to the test, because that was also in the word of God. He had been listening close enough to God's word that he knew when it was being twisted. He knew when it was being used in a wrong understanding. No one understands temptation better than Jesus. And if he teaches us to pray to the Father, don't let temptation take me away, it's a wise prayer for us to pray. And if it has taken us, then we allow the grace Jesus earned for us on the cross, where every temptation, every sin, every wrongdoing was put on him as our substitute. We allow that grace to be what changes us and frees us. We have this promise also, just as Jesus showed in his own overcoming of temptation, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When you are tempted, God will provide a way out. I don't always see it at first when temptations come my way. Maybe you don't always see it either. But God provides a way out. Sometimes the way out is to say out loud what the temptation is I'm struggling with. God, I had a really lousy day today, and I feel really crummy, and that pan of brownies looks like it'll solve all of my problems. Or at least it'll make me feel better. At least it'll make me forget the problems. And just saying that out loud is enough of a way to go, boy, that would really be dumb. That wouldn't help at all. And whatever the thing is that we might be tempted by, God is saying, if we'll trust in him, he'll provide a way out. He'll show you. He'll give you faith muscles you didn't know you had. Or he, by a phone call to a friend, will provide that extra support. Or a time taken to open up his word and hear him speak to us. Or a prayer to the Jesus who overcame all of temptation. Whatever it is, he'll give a way out to you and me. May we know and live by God's word, just as our Savior did when he overcame all of Satan's temptations. May we be strengthened by that word and know it even better than the devil does. Amen.